Morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. We are a little slim, but we're here this morning. Good to see everyone out, and Blake's looking around for the slim people, I think. I mean, we're few in number, Blake. Good to see everyone. Excited about today. The Lord gives us another opportunity to live. We was talking to our Sunday school class. It's truly a blessing every single day He gives us in our health, and we should be excited. We should be happy to just have what He's blessed us with. Do we have any prayer requests this morning as we get started? Remember those. We had that request in our class, so remember them when you pray. Also, we had many others that I can't even remember all of them, so just pray there's ones going for tests and different things that request was made for in our class, so remember those and just pray that I know God's will be done. And it's hard for us to understand why things go like they do sometimes, but we just got to understand that He's perfect. He's in control, and His timing is right, and everything about it is absolutely perfect. Do you have any more requests? Ask you to remember our church is a lot of busy times coming up in October. We will be busy from here on to the start of the new year, and then a little bit after that. So remember one another and pray earnestly for our church, and pray that God puts a desire in our hearts to get to know Him better and closer in this upcoming year, and that we'll truly be a church that is about His honor and His glory, and we will be a church that's, I've said it a lot lately, but outward focus, that we'll have the right focus and be the church He's called us to be in this upcoming year. Another prayer request, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we ask that You, more than anything, show up in our service this morning. God, we invite You to this place. God, we ask You to touch our singers. They come to sing, Lord. Just give them the talent. God, give them the ability. They may sing according, just for Your honor and Your glory, for no other reason. And God, these prayer requests have been made known this morning. Father, there's many, but one special bill on the heart of our church is Joe and Pam Hightower. God, we pray that You touch as You see fit. God, we don't even try to understand Your ways, but God, we trust You. And we know that You work for the good of those that love You, and God, that's what we stand on this morning. And Lord, we ask You to be in our service, God, for this hour as we come to worship You in spirit and in truth. Let us get everything off our minds, and we can't do anything about what's going on outside of this place. And God, we ask You to just be real near and dear to us. And God, I pray this morning, if there be one in our midst that don't know You, I pray they will before we leave this place. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and
my heart has captive. Good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter. The one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our
Again, this morning, as the message the Lord put on my heart is a little different than sometimes, and I was excited about preaching this message. I began studying for it. I began understanding something that I don't know if you realize this tonight or today or not, but God is the center of all things. He's in the center of all things, and the title of this message is "He is in the midst." He's in the midst. We was in Bible college, and we're studying through Genesis. And there, what the word midst is mentioned several times, and the word midst is in the Bible many times. I was going to remember that, but it's in there. And the meaning of the word midst is simply center, in the center. He's the center of everything. And I began thinking on this word this week about he is in the midst, about thinking about how he's in the center of everything, and he is the absolute measure of everything we do. And as you look up the word center, it means something that a sphere is measured from, a point that everything is measured out from. And I began thinking about our lives today. If our lives begin, if we measured everything of our lives from the center, if that center was Jesus Christ, what a magnificent life we would have. What a great life we would have this morning. What a joyful life we would have. What a comfort we would have, knowing that God is at the center of our lives. And the sad thing is even me, if I be honest with you today, and you also, if you'll be honest, he is not the center of our lives. He's not the center, but I want to tell you something. To him, you are the center. To him, you are everything. To him, he loves you with an unconditional love. He gave his best for you. He created everything that is created for you, and it's just amazing for what he's done for us. I hope today that by the end of this sermon, maybe we'll get a little bit of an understanding about how he desires us to understand what's at our center and what our center is about and what it should be focused on is him. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. If you would stand right quickly. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. I've never preached much out of this book, and we're just going to preach this one verse, and I've got a few other places we'll turn, but this morning I want you to honestly think about how mighty and how awesome our God is. Verse 17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing." Father, we thank you this morning for how great you are. Father, we thank you for how awesome you are and for what you've done for each and every one of us. And God, right now, we ask you to come in our midst, God, and be in the center of us. And God, let us worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. God, let us put you at the right place you deserve, which is a dead center of our lives, dead center of our church, and dead center of our world. God, we know that if we measure everything off you, then everything will be perfect. And God, we ask you to bless the ones that's not here this morning, Father, sick. Father, there's ones that's traveling and different things. We ask you to touch them in a mighty way. Of course, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You began thinking about the word mist, and immediately in Genesis, you began seeing this word, and you began seeing something about the tree of life. And if you remember the story, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9, God placed something in the center of that garden. And as I began preparing for this message, I began looking over it again last night, I began noticing something, that every time you see the tree of life, it's planted in a garden. It's amazing how God did this thing, and I even had to look up the word garden, and it's not what me and you think about, a place where we grow that okra, Rudy. It's not that type of garden. It's a garden that was fenced in. It's a place that was hidden in. It was a place that didn't stand out very much, but it was a place of vegetation. It was a place where things were grown. And you begin seeing this tree of life immediately. You begin thinking about that it's placed in a garden all through the scripture. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. I want you to see, as soon as he created man, he placed him in a garden. He placed him in a place and immediately he gave him the tree of life. Now this tree of life in the scripture is a type of Christ. It's a type of Christ, this tree of life. A man could have eaten of this tree and he would never die. He could have taken a bite off this tree and he would continue to live forever. But he also made another choice in that garden, the tree of good and evil. And the minute that a man took a bite of this tree of good and evil, he was able to distinguish between right and wrong. He was no longer innocent as he was when he was first placed there. And we all know the choice that was made. But I thank God today about how wonderful he is that when he decided to make me, he decided to make a tree of life. He decided to make a tree that I could eat off of and live forever. And he decided that when he created all man, that he was going to make a way. Listen, nothing surprised God. There's people that think, well, God made man. He made him perfect and he put him in this garden. And God thought that he would never sin. Listen, God knew exactly what man would do. He knew from the beginning of time. God knows all things. He is all things. He knew that man was going to fail him. He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that man was going to make the wrong choice about those trees, but in all his love and all of his grace and mercy, he still decided to create man and give him a free will. Now listen, God could have made you a robot. He could have made you a robot. He could have made you a sinless being if he'd wanted to. He could have kept Satan away from you without a doubt. He's all powerful. But in his love and mercy, he saw fit to give you a mind that can think on its own. To give you a being that can be its own person. In all that, he saw fit to make you who you are. And I began thinking about this. If God decided one day, I don't know why he decided to make me. Have you ever thought about that? Why in the world did God decide to make me? Of all the things in the world that God made, of all the planets, and all the stars, and all the beautiful things, and everything that he made, and listen, we're coming into fall. One of my favorite times of year, you can look and see all those leaves changing. Oh, how they're beautiful. And all that beauty, God decided to create man. He decided to create me. He placed us in a perfect place in that garden, in the center of that garden, in the very central part of it. He placed a tree of life. A tree of life. Listen, it's God's will this morning that man comes to him through this tree of life. It's God's will this morning that all people come to know him. Now listen, there's no shadow of a doubt that God knows that all people will not come to him. It just ain't going to happen. He knew that before he created you, what was going to happen in that decision. But still, he did that. But I want you to see something. In this tree of life, how it was created in the center. It was put into the center, especially for man. Now think about everything else that God created. Everything else is programmed to do exactly what it's supposed to do. An apple tree, it gives forth apples. It does exactly what he made it to do. The birds of the sky, they do exactly what they created to do. He made them to do it. He didn't give them a choice. They have to do this thing. But you and I, he did that. And in all that, he decided, I can't comprehend his thinking and all the greatness that he is. Why in the world would he make something like me, knowing that I was going to fail him? Knowing that I was going to come short in doing this, he still desires me to realize that he is the center of all things. He's the center. Now listen, not only would he put a tree in the midst of sin, listen, he is in work in the beginning of creating of a man. When a brand new baby is conceived, immediately he begins working a plan to bring that child back to himself. You said, wait a minute now, this little child has never done anything wrong. You know, we preach about it all the time and talk about it, how that we are born sinners. We get no choice in the matter. Even the smallest, sweetest, little, beautiful child that's ever been born is born a sinner. And this child needs a way. So even in the start of this creation, God was in the midst of this thing. He's in the midst of you being brought to him. He was in the center. He was right in the center of this thing. But listen, not only is he in the center of creation, but he's in the midst of reconciling man back to him. Turn to John chapter 19, verse 18. John chapter 19, verse 18. It says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Have you ever thought about that? This tree of life, remember, in the garden, this tree was placed in the midst. That's the very start of creation. He was right there in the midst of creation. Now here he is, we don't know how many thousand years later for sure, but here he is, it's time of Jesus, and all of a sudden, guess what has happened? Guess what has happened? A man has sinned and come short of his glory, and man stands in need of a reconciliation back to God. When God decides to reconcile man back, he don't say, here you are, old man, do the best you can do. Go out and feed 10,000, you'll be brought back to me, or do the very best you can do, and I'll accept it. He says, I'm going to make them a way back to me, and he shows us this on the cross of Christ. It says, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one in Jesus in the middle. Have you ever thought about this? That Jesus was in the very center of sinners. In the very center of sinners. You say, well, wait a minute now. These men there, they says that one of them come to know him. Yes, he did. But the moment that those crosses were stood up, there was two sinners. There was a sinner on each side of him. And Jesus was right in the middle of it. That tree of life hanging around the middle. By the way, if you go study this a little further, remember I told you about the gardens? You'll find out that in this Garden of Gethsemane, guess what it was? It was a garden, wasn't it? There was a garden outside the Golgotha. There was a garden there where this tree of life was placed. And where Jesus was hung on this cross, there was also a garden. There was fruit for you and me. There was a sign of life for all mankind. Can you imagine the picture? Here you are, a sinner on either side. There was a one. We know the one on the right and the one on the left. And right in the middle of them is Jesus. Listen today, y'all. This is exactly where we stand. All man stands at this point. Yes, Christ was in the middle of creation. He was a type of Christ there. That tree of life was. But when it come to reconciliation of man, Christ was still right there in the center. He's right there in the midst and desiring all men to look to him. Now listen, these men on this cross, they had choices to make. They had choices. They was there because they was truly condemned. They were sinners. They deserved to be at the place they was in. They was caught. They was guilty. They had absolutely no other way out. And bless God, one of them had enough sense about him to realize something that God had provided a way. And listen, he was sitting right beside him. The tree of life was right beside this man. Where he was hanging, how easily could he have missed the tree of life? I want to tell you something this morning. There's people that sit in our church benches every Sunday, and the tree of life is right beside them, and they miss out on it. They miss out on it. Now you listen, I believe with all my heart that God gave both of these men opportunity to come to know him that day that he was hanging in the midst of those two. I believe each one of them had the same opportunity. I believe they had the same thing. They saw the same things, Terry. I believe they saw what happened that time. You know how the rocks rent and all these things happened. I believe each one of them had the opportunity to know what was going on. And I believe today that God still pricks hearts and calls sinners unto himself. And we get a choice to decide will we be reconciled to God or not. We know that the one on the left said, hey, what are you doing? If he's Christ, have him save himself and save us. And the other one said, are you a fool? Are you a fool? We hang here justly. We deserve to be here. But this man in the middle, he has done nothing. And you remember what he says? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus tell him? He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. May I tell you what paradise is translated to in the Greek and Hebrew? Does anybody know? A garden. A garden. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. He told him that all you got to do is believe on me, receive me, and today you will be there. Listen, even in the reconciling of man, Jesus Christ is right into the center. He was there in the center of creation, and in the reconciling, he's right there in the center. I can't imagine how great it was to be, even in the shape that old sinner was in. He was crucified. He had nails through his hands and nails through his feet. He was condemned to die. You realize something today. You stand at the same place that this man did. You stand condemned to die. Without turning to Jesus Christ, you will be forever in a place called hell. The same place this old thief was going to be. It's the same place you will be unless you turn and look to the center and find God. I was thinking about this week of a man who went through a horrific medical thing. This man was almost dead. He was. I saw him with my own eyes. He was in a terrible shape. And you began thinking, well, surely this man must come to God. But you know what God told me as I was driving along yesterday? He said, he don't have it in himself to come to me. Unless the Spirit of God works in his life, he cannot come to him. And listen, people, at some point, God has to prick your heart and draw you to himself and show you he is in the center. And he's the center of everything. Until then, you can't even come to him. Think about that. And he loves you. You see, the reason this man hasn't come to Christ, the reason he hadn't realized this thing, is because the Spirit of God hasn't chose the time to touch him. And when the Spirit of God shakes him, he'll get to make a choice at this time. Now, it looks like that could have been a choice. I don't know. Maybe it looks like it could have been a time where he's supposed to make that choice. But listen, for some reason or another, he hasn't made it yet. I know of another man who a train turned over on him. He was working on a train, and the car rolled down the tracks, and it come off the tracks, and it turned over on him, and it cut his legs off about right here. He had no legs, absolutely. Today, if he goes anywhere, he's in a wheelchair. And even after, I've heard him give his testimony, and after this thing, guess what? He still didn't turn to Christ. And he went through having hepatitis because of drug abuse, and he still didn't turn to Christ. He didn't turn to Christ until the Spirit of God touched his heart one day in a church service. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you today is all the situations in life can't do it. You can't decide you're going to turn over a new life and come to God until he touches your heart and you realize he's the center of everything. You cannot find life. Amen. I began thinking about a sale. And listen, I am not smart at all. Those of y'all that's known me about 2 years and some of y'all know me 20-something years, I am not smart. But listen, I began thinking about a cell. I remembered Coach Mobley's biology class. Boy, I wish he does have Facebook. Maybe he'll turn it on. And listen, just to aggravate me, he used to call me bookworm. Now, for some reason or another, I made good grades in his class, and he always thought I studied, Rudy. And I never did. You can ask my mother and daddy. I never carried a science book home. But for some reason, I love science. And I can remember that something about a cell, there was something right there in the center of a cell called a nucleus. And I began thinking about that thing, so I had to look it up again last night. You know what the job of a nucleus is? It controls everything else of the cell. It controls everything about that cell. It controls the DNA. It controls all these chromosomes and all this fancy stuff those doctors know about. But one thing I began thinking about it is, bless God, you know what? That thing in most human beings, you know where that nucleus is? It's right dead in the midst of that cell. It's in the center of it. And it's in control of everything. But guess what? As I was studying last night, I began thinking, I thought I had something good to tell you. And I began looking, and you know what the Google said, and I guess a doctor wrote it or found out about it, but it said that a nucleus is not always in the center of the cell. A nucleus is not always in the center of the cell. Some of y'all sitting there thinking, well, duh. It's not always in the center. I began thinking, well, God, you just wrote my point. Because it was going to be good if that nucleus was right in the center. But guess what? Even though a nucleus may be to the right side of the cell, or the left side, or the top side, or the bottom side, bless God, the nucleus is always in charge. It's always in charge. I didn't think about this last night, and I like to shout it. There's times that Christ is not the center of my life, but you know what? He's still in control. There's times I've got him on the left side, but he's still in control. There's times I got him on the right side, he's still in control. And there's even times that I put him on the bottom, and he's still in control. There's times that very seldom do we have him at top. And I've got something wrong with me because everybody's laughing. But listen, he's in control. No matter where that nucleus is, it's in control. It controls reproduction of the cell. Listen, he's in control. Listen, you can tell everybody you want to know about Jesus Christ, but until that nucleus works, nothing's going to happen. Until it decides that something's going to happen, nothing's going to take place. But in the very center, I want you to think about this. What is salvation? Salvation is simply life. It's spiritual life coming to a man. It's the same thing that happens as a cell reproduces. All those chromosomes, everything goes to produce something that is just like itself or to make it go further. And it's the same thing that happens in salvation. Christ saves you. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be the control center of your life. And he wants you to reproduce and to make other patterns or other things exactly like you according to the pattern of God. And that's even getting too deep for me. So I'll move on. But listen, he's in the center of salvation. In the center of reconciling man back to himself. The tree of life placed in the center. Boy, it's amazing. You go on, this thing is all through the Bible. This is what I began thinking about this yesterday. This is one of them chewing gum sermons. The more you chew on this thing, the bigger it gets. Now this thing, boy, it's like something you put in your mouth, ain't no good. One time, I'll give you an example, I don't know why this stuff comes to me. We was having breakfast for supper at church one time, and these people came, and they had biscuits, and boy, I love biscuits. And boy, they looked pretty, and they was just the right size. And just so happens, bless God, the one that made it was sitting with us. And I got me one of them biscuits because I was going to brag on her. I was going to make her think I was real good. And I got me some eggs and all the stuff that goes with it. I took me a big old bite of that biscuit, and it tastes like mothballs. I think she had mothballs in her cabinet where her flour was. And as I began chewing, that biscuit kept getting bigger. And it kept getting bigger, and I couldn't spit it out because she was watching. So eventually, I can't remember what I'd done, but I had to get that thing out of my mouth. That's exactly the way this sermon is this morning. This thing grew to a point where I don't even know what to do with it. We're just going to chew on it a little bit and swallow it, I hope. But listen, he's in the middle of reconciliation, but I want you to show you what else he's in the middle of. He is in the middle of our church. Middle of our church. Matthew, what was that? I didn't write on my paper. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Boy, is that not something? Listen, he knew exactly this morning that we're going to have with all these people sick and all these people out. Knew there aren't going to be many here this morning. So he thought, I'll give you this verse to try to help you a little bit. Listen, we get all excited when people is not here. We get all determined. We get all discouraged and all upset and said, what are we going to do? Their pews are not full. May I tell you, according to this verse, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he says, I am in the center. I'm in the center. You realize something, church? He's in the very center of this building. I don't know where the center of this building would be. Probably somewhere about right there at Keith. But I promise you, he is in the center of this thing because we are gathered in the name of Jesus this morning. And the Bible says we hear the name of Jesus, that he is in the center of us. and he desires to be the center of this church. You realize something? We're starting a brand new church here, and we come up with all these ideas of how we want to reach out to our community, and we want to reach out to one another, and we want to do all of these great things. I've said we want to be outwardly focused, and we want to do everything right. Listen, church, if we want to do everything right, bless God, we put him in the center of this church. We measure everything according to him. We do everything in our lives according to him, and we'll have a church that's pleasing unto God. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. I'm in the center. I want to, hey, he's not happy being on the back burner. He wants to be the center. He wants to be the one that everything we come here is about. How guilty are we of coming in and feeling down and out and thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to go to church. Oh my goodness, I've got to go there. One of our Bible teachers told us the other day, he said, I better never ever hear one of y'all say you've got to preach a revival. I better not ever hear one of y'all say you've got to preach Wednesday or you've got to preach Sunday. You've got to, he said, if you realize something in what God has blessed you with, you ought to be saying, I get to, instead of I've got to. Listen, we get to come to church this morning. You realize something? We get to be in the presence of an Almighty God. He says, where two or three are gathered, there I'm in the midst. What in the world if we could just get a hold of this a little bit and a little bit of this excitement of realizing that we can meet with Jesus Christ right here in this church house, right here today. He says he's in the midst. If we could do this and we understood this, then why in the world are so many people missing out of church today? And listen, in today's time, bless our hearts, we'll do anything we can to decide why we shouldn't be in the house of God. We'll make all kinds of excuses why we must miss or why we do that or why we can't come on this day or this day. I've done it just like you have. We're all guilty. But we realize that Jesus Christ says he'll meet us in the center of this place. If two or three are gathered in his name, there should be an excitement to be in this house. There should be an excitement. You know why there's not? Because he's not the center. He's not the center of our lives. And we absolutely do not care to meet with him. We don't care to meet with him. We don't care to be in fellowship with him. Because if you're in fellowship with a holy God, your life is going to be a little bit different. If you're in the right fellowship with God, your sin that you enjoy is not going to be enjoyable. If you're in the right fellowship with God, there's going to be things you do that the scripture is going to tell you you shouldn't do. And you're not going to enjoy it. I have been there myself, and we all have been there. And it's a miserable time. The most miserable place you can be in life is being around somebody who's excited about God, and you be off in left field in sin and not close to God. That's a miserable place to be. We've all been there. But boy, how great it is when all of us are on the same page and we're all living according to the scripture and we're all living in this way, and we come and we're gathered in the name of Jesus and we're excited about the name of Jesus, and we come and he is right there in the middle of us. Right there in the middle of us. That's that nucleus in that cell. Controlling everything. You see, in all of our meetings, he should be the controlling factor. In everything we do, he should be the controlling factor, just as that nucleus does. He should say, boys, you should do things this way. If we want to know how something's to be done, we need to pick up the Word of God and see what it says. We need to figure out what we need to do about this problem and pick up the Bible and see what it tells about it. I challenge you to find a problem of life that's not in the Word of God. You will not do it. Not only was he in the center of creation, was he in the center of reconciliation, but he's in the midst of our church. He's in the midst of one another. And finally, he's in the midst of all eternity. Of all eternity. You turn to, we got several places in Revelations. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to this. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Which is where? In the midst of the paradise of God. In the midst of the paradise of God. I want to tell you something. If you don't like being in the midst of Jesus Christ, you may not want to go to heaven. You know why? Because he's the center of everything there is in glory. You go in, hey, the Bible tells there'll be no need for light because he is the light. There'll never be no darkness because he's there. Did y'all see the little thing about the match the other day on Facebook? Boy, that was great. I never realized that. Somebody had a match stand up. Do you realize that light has no reflection? Light has no shadow. It has no shadow. They had a match lit, and the match stem had a shadow below it, but the flame had no shadow. Because light does not give off shadow. There's absolutely no darkness at all in him. Forever he's in glory. Forever he's in the middle of heaven, and he's going to be there forever. He's in the midst of eternity, and if you don't like being around him, I'd suggest that you don't go that place, because it's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be glorious, and the center of that place is going to be my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to be standing there with outstretched arms. And loving you and excited about you being there. But bless God, the way some of us look this morning, we may not want to go because we're going to be miserable. Listen, this thing is exciting. The God of God. Every single one of us, even if you don't like Alabama, you would probably like to meet Nick Saban. Maybe some of you wouldn't. Or you'd probably like to meet, if you could have met, Bear Bryant. You'd probably love to meet him or some of these other people throughout the history of whatever team you like. If you liked Auburn, then you'd probably like to meet Pat Dye or Bo Jackson or some of these other people. And boy, we'd probably drive miles to meet him and get an autograph from him. But listen, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says that where we are gathered in his name, that he's in the midst. And why in the world can we not get excited about him this morning? I don't understand it. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Where's that Lamb? He's right in the center. Right in the center of the throne. Listen, not only is he in the center, you understand what's going to happen? The Lamb's going to feed them. He's going to feed them with an everlasting food. Forever is this thing going to last. And he's right there in the center. You know what's great about being in the center? And listen, if you begin talking to people that's going to move to a place, you know what they look for? They look to be in the center of a place. They say, I want to be in the center of town where I can drive this many miles to the hospital, this many miles to Walmart, this many miles to my job, or this many miles to something. I want to be right here in the center. And listen, why are we in the center? Because we want to be close to things, don't we? And that's exactly where Jesus Christ is placed in every phase of our life, in creation, in the present that we're at right now, church. In eternity to come, everywhere he is directly in the center, accessible to the same distance from all men. It was the same distance for me to come to Christ as it was for you. It's the same distance for the few ones in the future to come to Christ as it was for me. It's the same distance for any man, any country, any color, any everything. It's the same distance to come to Jesus Christ because he's right in the center. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, in the midst of the street, or in the middle of the street, or in the center of the street, however you want to word it. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Right here in the center again, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Everywhere you look in Scripture and you find the tree of life, church, I challenge you to study it this week. You will find it in the center. It's always in the center. And it's always in a garden. How amazing is it? People say, well, I believe that this book was just written by all these men. They just happened to throw this thing together. And all that, I tell you a couple of words. You know how I count today. I tell you about four words. Hogwash. God, he preserved this thing. He had it pinned down by men inspired of him. He preserved it. He done it in a perfect way. You tell me of a man that could place those tree of life in the center of a garden from Genesis to Revelations. He could not have done it. Man would have missed out some way. This book is inspired by God who loves you, by God who is at the center of your creation, by God who's at the center of your reconciliation, and by God who's at the center of your church, or is supposed to be, and a God who's going to be, if you're saved today, he's going to be at the center of your eternity, right in the middle of it, in control. Nothing. I believe today, church, we think that God has lost control. That God's lost control. I want to tell you something. He has not lost one bit of control of this nation. And people say, well, since this thing's just out of control, this thing is not out of control, it's right in the hands of God. Everything God's ever made was perfect. Everything that God has ever been a part of was perfect. Everything that God ever will be a part of is going to be perfect. Whether it's this nation or everything, yes, this nation has went away from God, but guess how it's happened? Because she has went away on her own being. God is still standing in the center waiting for our nation and every other nation to come to him if they will. And guess what? Today he stands at the same place in New Harmony Baptist Church. He's standing right now in the center waiting to reconcile you back to himself. If you leave this place this morning, you're a lost sinner, you do it of your own will, because he's standing here in the middle, right in the middle, with his arms stretched wide, saying, come to me, eat of the tree of life, and you'll live forever. But he's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to make you. He's not going to tell you have to, but he's giving you an opportunity. Church, if everyone would, please stand. For our song singers, pianists to come forth. I want you to realize this morning, I probably said it a million times and I meant to. Jesus Christ is the center of every phase of your life. Every phase, from the time you're born, to the time you're a teenager, to the time you get married, to the time you have your own children, to the time you have grandchildren, to the time you take your last breath, and even after last breath, He is at the center of your life. In control. Wanting, desiring that you come eat freely of this tree of life. Sad thing is today, in many churches throughout this land, men, women, boys, and girls will walk out those doors, been given an opportunity to have life and have it more abundantly. And there's men and women that have made this choice. They're sitting right here, maybe in the sound of my voice, and probably all through every other church in this nation that is calling themselves Christians. They're saying they have a Christian home. They're saying they have a great church. They're saying they have all these things. And man, we look outside and it looks beautiful. It looks like they got things going because we got everybody busy and got everybody doing things. It looks like it's for God. But I want to ask you something. And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Is Jesus Christ the center of your world? Is He what you measure everything off of? If you're going to do something in business, do you say, oh, what would Jesus do in this situation? If you're going to do something in your marriage, would you say, what would He do? And boy, that hurts, don't it? What would He do in this situation? If you're going to do something in your family, you say, what would He do if I'm measuring from Him? If you do something in our church, what would we do if we was measuring from Jesus? Listen, He is the center. He's from which everything is measured. If we do anything other than that, we are wrong. He is the center. Will you let Him be the center of your life today? He's desiring to be in control. He is in control. By the way, you may think He's not. He can control all things. He can speak and worlds come into existence. He can open His mouth and life, light come out of it. He said, let there be light, and it come out of His mouth. He separated the waters from the firmament. You remember that in creation? He spoke that. In 6 days, He did this thing. This one that does all these great things is wanting to control my life and your life and wanting to be the direct center where everything is measured if I'll let Him. What will you do this morning?